Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings in for Brian Lehrer. Are you trying to quit smoking? Wear a suit. Are you locked in an intense, antagonistic negotiation? Are you listening, Washington politicians? Sit on the same side of the table. All of this wisdom and more is available to you in a new book titled The Chairs Are Where the People Go, How to Live, Work, and Play in the City. And the authors, Misha Globerman and Sheila Hetty, are here in our studio. Misha and Sheila, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks.
Hi.
I want to start by telling listeners that your Trampoline Hall lecture series is at Dumbo's Powerhouse Arena tonight at 7 o'clock. There's a link to the event on our website. Go to WNYC.org. Click on The Brian Lehrer Show. This is an interesting little book. It's sort of advice. You could skip around. You don't have to read it from cover to cover. Sheila, this book was your idea. How would you describe what your intention, your goal was here?
The idea was initially to write a novel in which Misha was the primary character, but that wasn't really working. And so I thought maybe instead I'll use Misha's words instead of my own, because what I find so great about Misha, who's been a friend of mine for 10 years, is the way he speaks about things, his opinions about the world. And I tried to capture it in fiction, but it just wasn't quite the same thing. So basically the book is everything Misha knows, and that was the concept going into it.
And what, before I turn to you, Misha, not to like treat you like you're not here, and
that's
you
all right.
clearly are in the room, what makes Misha's thoughts on the world so fascinating to you?
Well, I think I'm one of those people that goes to people for advice a lot and likes talking about things. And I think Misha just is very clear and sort of radically sensible and original in his approach to almost everything. And we'll talk about anything, you know.
Misha, you are an interesting character. Harvard educated, you teach people how to play charades. Mm-hmm. You also teach music classes, and yet you're not a trained musician. So how does that work?
All of it?
Well, let's start with the musician part.
Well, the music classes are, some of them are classes and some of them are kind of more just these kinds of events, and they're very hard to describe. But what I do is I get groups of people together and I have them run around and make sounds together in different ways. Sometimes I'll do that over in a sort of classroom setting where over the course of maybe 6 weeks people will come once a week in an evening, or sometimes I'll just do these big events where it's sort of like a, I think of it as sort of like a performance, but where all the sounds are made by the audience who come and run around and make noises together.
And the charades class.
I always really liked charades, and I was teaching improv theater classes, and I sort of liked how people behaved in improv theater classes, but I didn't like that they were sort of always trying to make jokes, and I realized I didn't really care about things like story and character. So I was like, I should just teach people to play charades, because then they'll come and they'll kind of run around and do interesting things with their bodies and stuff, but not be worried about doing theater.
And what did you get your degree in at Harvard? Was it theater?
No, my degree.
Or was it charades?
My degree, yeah. It was a special program in charades.
Right, yeah, independent study.
Yeah, I worked with many of the great charades minds of the time. No, I have a degree in philosophy, which is, I guess, similar.
How similar? I mean, do you feel that all of these things are philosophical in that you're looking at games, for example, through a philosophical lens?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of trying to figure stuff out, so to the degree to which that's part of it. But I don't think of a, I mean, I'm certainly not like drawing on like specific things I read in school or anything.
Let's dive into some of your ideas, starting with chairs, which has title status here. Give us a chair tutorial. What do people need to know about chairs?
Well, that's sort of the title essay of the book, and it's actually kind of important, which is the idea that I think what I say is that if you go to an event and you look at how they set up the chairs, you can sort of tell really quickly whether they've actually been thoughtful about what the relationship of the audience is to the event. So sometimes I'll go to something, and as soon as you get there, you're like, oh, wait a minute, the way the chairs are set up for this really doesn't make sense. And a lot of the time it turns out like, oh, that's right, like because they haven't really thought about what kind of experience the audience wants to have. So they'll do something where they have people stand. The example, one of the things I say in the book is I talk about when they set up for a literary reading, and they have it set up where lots of people are going to stand. But no one wants to stand during literary reading. That's terrible, and it's going to make it unenjoyable for the people who are standing, and then also for other people it'll be unpleasant, because when people are standing, they naturally talk to each other, which is great for a rock show, but lousy for a literary reading. So just that idea that those structures kind of affect how people behave is something that comes up a lot.
Your pronunciation of the word about reminded me that you're from Canada.
I am from Canada.
And you also write about being new in a city, and I found that very novel, your thoughts on how to make friends when you're in a strange place. I know that's very difficult for people to do when they move to New York, for example, or when they move anywhere. Your advice on that?
Yeah, well, and especially I think that the chapter in the book was even especially tart about people at a certain stage of life, which was kind of after college, which is I think that's a really hard time, especially for people, because you're so used to, because I think through your youth and through school, you don't really have to work to make friends. Like you just
I don't
kind
know
of,
about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have to work to make friends?
Oh yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't. Maybe I went to like more social places.
But I think it depends on what one's definition is of friend.
Yeah.
And you also write about that for some people their definition of a friend is just the fact that they have something in common, and that commonality unites them. And other people want friends who they can pour. Sheila, you mentioned this is one of the reasons why Misha was your friend. You were able to go to him for advice. He listened to you. A whole different layer and level of intimacy with that kind of friendship.
Yeah, there's a really beautiful moment in the book where Misha's talking about how he has a friend who comes from Kelowna, BC, British Columbia, and says that it's so interesting. In Toronto, friends are people that you talk with, you go out for coffee with, and it's all around conversation. But where I come from, your friends are the people that like swimming with you. And Misha says in the book, like, I thought it was really beautiful that in Kelowna, people, your friends are the people that are floating around in the water with you. So it's just nice, this, you know, different definitions.
I'm speaking with Sheila Hetty and Misha Globerman. They work together on the book, The Chairs Are Where the People Go. They will be holding an event, the Trampoline Hall Lecture Series at Dumbo's Powerhouse Arena tonight at 7. We are taking your calls. How about for Canadian transplants to New York? Canadians, are there any skills or lessons you learned in your hometown that have served you well in New York City? Give us a call at 212-433-WNYC or post a comment on our website. Go to WNYC.org, click on the Brian Lehrer Show, or perhaps you have a charade question for Misha. Misha, have you, another issue that you addressed that I thought was really interesting is loud bars, and that you speak about the loudness of bars as something that helps facilitate the selling of drinks, something I had never thought about before until you put it that way.
Yeah, I think a lot of the ways that things work in bars aren't. Yeah, you think, like, why do they make it so loud here? And in some bars, people want to be somewhere where it's really loud, like if a place where there's dancing or if you're seeing a show. But sometimes you go to a bar and the music's just really loud and what people are trying to do is talk. And I never really understood why people would want that. And I think that one reason is that a lot of what bars do is they're not actually in the business of – they're in the business of selling drinks. And so a lot of the things that happen at bars are just there to get you to buy another drink. If it's really loud, it's harder to do other things, since you end up just going to the bar and having a drink. Whereas if you could actually just sit and talk, you don't buy as many.
And you tried to initiate some games at local bars,
yeah.
And it succeeded, but it also failed.
Yeah, well, it succeeded as a project, but it failed as a business thing. And it was at a hotel bar near our house, and they were incredibly nice and supportive of this project. They were like, "Oh, why don't you come do this? I had this idea to do a games night," and they thought that was a great idea. And we did it, and people came, and they came to the games night, and they had a really wonderful time. And I think I found it a lot more. I mean, in a lot of ways, satisfying in a way in which going to a bar, it wasn't always for them. But the bar had to cancel it because people were having such a good time that they didn't have to buy drinks because they didn't have the sort of – a lot of events at bars, once you see them in that way, you realize that events in bars often have these sort of dead times in them. So you have to sit around for 15 minutes. You have nothing else to do, so you go buy another beer to kill time. And that's actually what sells – what makes it profitable.
And the loud music prevents people from having conversations,
yeah,
so it facilitates wanting – to get a drink, to have something to do with your hands.
Exactly. So bars kind of want you to – like whether consciously or not, by business, a bar wants you to be a little bored so that you've got to buy a drink.
And isolated. This idea that you're going to go to a bar and meet somebody is a little weird given the context of the atmosphere of most bars.
Well, that was the idea of the games night. The games night was structured in such a way that you would come and there would be lots of opportunities to not just play games with people you came with, but to play games with other people. So over the course of the night, you would actually meet other people.
Sheila, how did you put this book together? How did you collaborate on this?
Well, when we decided to do the, or when I approached Misha about, do you want to do this book? What happened was we came up with a list of, you know, all the things he cares about and thinks about, and then we got together at my house, sort of at 10 in the morning, with a over coffee, and we'd go say, okay, let's do this chapter today. And he would talk, he would speak the chapter, or I might ask a question or two, but as he talked, I just typed, I transcribed as we talked. And we did that over a period of maybe 3 or 4 months, and then we had a lot of chapters and picked the best ones, put them in order, did a bit of editing, and there is the book.
Mark from Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Misha Globerman and Sheila Hetty. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Yeah, I'm so impressed with this this spot here, because Misha's frame of looking at the world is just really. There was a poem once, I forget who wrote it, but it, and the world was puddle wonderful. You know, it's just this feeling of immensely enjoying every piece of life. When I was growing up here in Manhattan on the Upper West Side as a kid, I used to dream of going, walking from one building through another building through another building and ending up in a location really, really far away. So when I was walking around New York, I used to find plazas. If you go from Carnegie Hall, you can walk through one of the buildings, through another building, into one of the corporate buildings, through a plaza, and you can literally end up on 48th Street in Rockefeller Center. Okay. When I kind of turned the phrase urban calculus, because it was a way for me to navigate through the city in a way that would change the rate, time, and motion. So I always try to make a hypotenuse when I have to get to a place.
Wow, that's high-level thinking, Mark. I really appreciate that. I like that phrase, urban calculus. I think that's what Misha is trying to do here. Thank you for your call. Misha, in the few minutes we have left, explain to me what you're doing tonight as part of this lecture series.
So what we're doing a show called The Trampoline Hall Lectures, and it's a show that Sheila invented a few years ago that we've been doing for a long time in Toronto, and it's been to New York a bunch of times too. And the premise of the show is it's a lecture show, usually a barroom lecture show, and the premise is that people are forbidden from lecturing on subjects on which they're professionally expert. And then we have lots of questions with the audience. So it's a little more conversational, I guess, than a lecture normally is.
Misha Globerman, Sheila Hetty here in our studio, the collaborators on the book The Chairs Are Where the People Go. Thank you so much for joining us here on WNYC. And we will close with this comment from our website. Catherine from Brooklyn says, Toronto is deeply cliquey and regionalistic, where I've found New Yorkers friendly and open. The social life here is much easier to navigate in, even as a stranger. So there you go. She won't be needing your advice about making friends in the new place.
Glad to hear that.
I'm Amy Edding, sitting in for Brian Lehrer. I will be in tomorrow as well. Brian returning on Monday? Yes. Thanks so much for listening. This is WNYC AM and FM New York, WNYC.org.